Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And this is the disciples and Jesus, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Somebody say, cry out. Somebody say, shout now. And said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many around him charged that he should hold his peace. That's the King James politically correct version of saying, shut up. Hold your peace. But he cried even more a great deal. Somebody say, shout louder. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. This is second part of get your shout on. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get your shout on. Amen. You may be seated. I read this morning. One of the first things I did, or first things I read when I got on social media, and I'm just going to put this out here because it goes along with what we're saying, what we're studying, and what we're preaching today. This is from someone I've never met, and they posted on Twitter. One of the best things you can do for your church is to sit in the front row, worship passionately, and respond to your pastor's preaching. 10 people like that can change the atmosphere of the whole room and lift everyone's hearts heaven towards heaven. I'm not saying come sit on the front row. What I'm saying is that one person in this room, your worship, your response to the Word of God, your reception of what God is doing, one person like that, you can change your whole section. We get 6 or 8 people like that in this room, we can change the whole room. We can shift the atmosphere of the room. And you say, why would I want to do that? Because 6 or 8 can shift the whole atmosphere, and then everybody starts getting the splash over effect of what the other person is hearing, what the other person is receiving. And so I say that to say this, from the front to the balcony and everywhere in between, you ought to worship God like you're the only one in the house today. You ought to praise God like nobody on your row knows how to praise God. You ought to receive and respond to the Word today like this is a church that's never responded to the Word and you're teaching everybody how to do it. Why? Because when you do that, it's going to affect your row, your section, your family. And when we can do that in here, something's going to transpire in the next 15 or 20 minutes that heaven's going to visit us. Come on now. Heaven's going to literally come down and rest on Living Way. So when the Word of God is preached, if something said you like, say amen. Say that's right. Say gloria a Dios. I don't care what you say, but you better start talking to God, talking about God, lifting up your one person opening their mouth can change the atmosphere. Somebody say amen. Last week we started off talking about the power of a shout. Every day at some point you're going to hear somebody shouting. You're going to hear them shouting in traffic. You're going to hear them shouting at your job. I hope you don't live in a home where a lot of shouting goes on. I told you, Pastor Manny and I, we try to have a very quiet, peaceful house. The only yelling that goes on is for 16 weeks in the middle of football season when I am yelling at Jason Garrett, which I will not be yelling at any longer. I was going to say 19 or 20 weeks, but they don't make it to the playoffs, so it's only 16 weeks. But I hear shouting everywhere. I got neighbors that shout. People shout. I come to church. We're shouting in church. When you shout, it draws attention to you. Last week we talked about this. You shout. When you call, shout means to call or cry loudly, to call or cry vigorously, to speak unrestrained. When you want it bad enough, you're going to get it however you got to get it. You're going to yell. There's going to be a sudden loud outburst. Blind Bartimaeus was blind, which gave way to begging. Sometimes one problem in your life begins to affect other areas of your life. Just because you're blind doesn't mean you've got to be broke. But he bought into the fact that one thing in my life is not right, and he allowed that one thing that wasn't right to begin to bleed into other areas. Can I tell you that if you've got one problem, listen, You are ahead of the game. Most people have 8, 10, 12, 14 dozen problems. And you can't allow one thing in your life to begin. Just because you had a bad day at work, don't come home and take it out on your wife and kids or your husband and kids. Just because you've had a bad month, don't let that turn into a bad year. But blind Bartimaeus allowed his blindness to affect his money, to affect his lifestyle. Just because he was blind, he didn't have to beg, but here we see him begging. Your problem in life can begin to affect other areas of your life if you don't get it right. We learn begging is anti-overflow. Begging creates a scenario where we believe for just enough and forget that we serve a God that is more than enough, that has destined us for more than enough. Begging paralyzes us to survive mode instead of thrive mode. Can I tell you, I want to encourage somebody. I talked to him walking in today. I said, how you doing? They said, I'm surviving. I said, we got to change that to thriving. Surviving means you're running from Friday to Friday. Surviving means you're barely keeping your head above water. God didn't call you to barely keep your head above water. God called you to walk on water. Got to get out of the survival mode, get into the thriving mode. Bartimaeus had to hear of Jesus. That's where we left off before he could cry out to Jesus. We got to turn the volume up on our Jesus talk. Taught this to the young people last night. How do you turn up the talk on Jesus talk? Because you shouting, you standing on the street corner telling everybody they're going to hell is probably not going to save a whole lot of people. It might work here and there. It's probably not going to do it. And so, well, does that mean you're supposed to hit the front door of your office complex tomorrow speaking in tongues and quoting scripture? It could be, but that might not work either. The way that you inflect Jesus talk into your life, into your job, and into your school is when anybody says something good about you, you deflect and reflect. It's what we call praise. Because anytime somebody gives me a compliment, I should say, it's the God in me. Anytime somebody says something good about what I did, it was God that gave me that idea. It was God that gave me the ability to gain wealth. It was God that woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Man, how did you get through that divorce and you never lost your joy, never lost? Well, the reason I got through it is because when I was walking through the valley of the shadow of the deathly divorce, God was with me. He never left me. See what I did there? They meant something negative, but I turned it around and I deflected and reflected and infused Jesus into every situation in my life. Then when people start talking about their problems, you have an opportunity to turn up the volume on Jesus. What can I pray for you? Well, let me tell you about what my husband said to me. Man, I'm sorry that he said that to you. But let me tell you something. God is greater. Let's pray that God works in your husband's life. You say, man, that sounds so super spiritual. Well, I would rather be super spiritual and have everything that God has promised me and get my sight and get my future back. I'd rather be super spiritual than super carnal. But there is a balance. I've learned that my Jesus talk is not quoting scripture and giving them the chapter, the verse, and the book of the Bible, but it's quoting scripture without them knowing it's scripture. See, that's how we speak in code. And so when people tell you that I just can't seem to get my life in order, you don't have to say, well, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. You say, well, you know, where's God at in this? Because if you'll just put God as the number one in your life, when was the last time you came to church? Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? My pastor's going to be preaching, but whatever he's preaching, the Holy Ghost is going to do something. There's going to be people that love you and inspire you, and they're going to accept you, but they're going to infuse you with a lot of faith, a lot of hope, a lot of love. We just got to get God back to the number one place in your life. You just quoted Matthew 6:33, but you said it wasn't King James Version. It was the Brandon Version. It was the Sister Wanda Version. It was, I'm a living epistle. I'm a book that they're reading. And so I turn the volume up on Jesus. Every day we have at least 100 opportunities to talk Jesus that we bypass. They come to you with a problem and we say things like, well, have you been to HR? HR ain't gonna help you. Human resources is very limited in what they can do. You know what would be better? Say a 10-second prayer before you send them to HR. Turn up the volume on Jesus. Your shout changes the atmosphere. You say it doesn't. Go to HEB today. Go to aisle 6 and just start screaming. Just start yelling. I don't even care what you yell. Yell sports scores. Yell political things. You'll really cause a commotion. Anytime someone starts yelling, hey! Changes. People. Last Sunday when that baby started crying, people started rolling their eyes, looking like, man, how long does it take you to get that baby together and get out the building? Because someone screamed, it disrupted the normal. Come on now. See, some of us that are okay with normal, we don't like when other people make waves. But you don't get anywhere unless there's waves. Come on now. A still, smooth seas do not make skilled sailors. I don't get anywhere unless there's some wind. I don't get anywhere unless there's a gravitational pull that is creating waves in my life. And so I want to encourage you, March of 2020, we need to go beyond normal and say, God, I don't want to be made comfortable anymore. And so I'm going to turn the volume. And if it takes me yelling, if it takes me raising my voice, if it takes me getting more bold, I'm going to do that because I need to see something new in my life. And I'm blind right now, but I need fresh vision. Somebody say yes. Shouting changes the atmosphere. Your shout changes the room. Your shout changes your situation. If there was some calamity or some emergency in your house, if, God forbid, somebody was struck by a car, you wouldn't run up and down the streets of your neighborhood saying, help! Somebody! Anybody! I need help over here! Somebody call an ambulance! Somebody call 911! And see, we have the answer in here, and we love to shout about Jesus in church. But we leave the room, we leave the building, we leave off campus, and we go to Luby's, and we go to, and the TV people say, quit talking about food all the time, you make us hungry. Well, that's good because I preach the 11 a.m. service, and we can all eat in about 45 minutes. But we leave the campus, we go home, we go to Luby's, we go to Papa Do's, we go to McDonald's, and all around us we're passing people that are sick, we're passing people that are addicted, we're passing people that are blind, we're passing people whose marriages are about to be destroyed, we're passing people who are raising children that are living depressed and suicidal lives, and all we do is say, someone needs to give them some help when we need to be out there. Jesus, Jesus. Raising our voice, saying, God, right here. God, stop everything you're doing. Right here as a son of God. You don't love me any more than you love them. They are hurting. I know we're not at Living Way. I know we don't have the purple padded pews, and I know we don't have a praise and worship team to call the glory of God down, but the Bible says that you have given me a joyful noise that if I will make, it is called praise. And God, on the side of the road, in homeroom at my school, in the break room at my office, in the courtroom downtown, if I will just turn up my Jesus talk, the same Jesus that invaded this place about 40 minutes ago will invade your situation, will invade your family, will invade the courtroom, will invade the hospital room. He just needs somebody to say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Verse 48, catching up where we were last week. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal. I love this. The first shout, shut up. The second shout came from a place of desperation. Your first shout is always your test shout. Your first shout is always to see, what am I going to be able to get by with? Can I say it like this and get his attention? The first shout was maybe something like, hey, Jesus, right here, man. I'm blind and I need you to do something for me. Just raising his voice a little over the crowd. And the crowd turns on him. The majority turns on him. The masses turn on him. And they tell him to shut up. Can I tell you something? That most of your life and the things that you and I need in our lives are not going to happen because of the first shout. It's going to take those that say, I shouted and it didn't work. People attacked me. People disrupted me because the first shout, I tried to do it in a nice way. The first shout, I tried to be politically correct. In the first way, I tried not to ruffle feathers. The first way, I tried not to make any waves. But if Jesus leaves this place today, I might never get my sight back. I might never get vision. This might be my last opportunity. Can I tell you, if you're going to shout, put everything you've got behind it. Don't shout from here. Shout, give them a belly shout and say, Jesus, I need you to stop right now. I might never see you again. I might never get the opportunity again. Might never get the opportunity again. The masses around you will try to silence what is in you. The masses, the majority around you. I'm going to say this might be hard. Something said about this statement where Bartimaeus is in the process. And the older I get, the more I am about the process. Because the process, the length of the process, the adversity to the process or in the process, it tells me how big the miracle at the end of the process is. If you don't have anybody fighting you, then there's really not going to be a triumph or a victory at the end. But when the devil sees you on the move, and the devil sees you getting closer, and the devil has kept Bartimaeus blind, and the devil said, man, if I can make him blind, maybe I can make him broke. Maybe I can get him begging. The devil said, if I can do all that to him. And then the devil woke up one day and he said, oh, man, he said, Jesus is supposed to show up in Jericho today. And so my point, my whole job today is to make sure that nobody hears Bartimaeus. Because I know that Bartimaeus is sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I know that Bartimaeus, if he gets within earshot of Jesus, he's going to try to cause a commotion. So then what the enemy puts people around him that are going to try to quiet him down when Jesus gets close enough. The masses around you will always try to silence what is in you. I love this. You must give grace to shout, to cry out, and to call out. We've got to give people grace. Taking notes, take this note. Grace gives space. One of the things that I'm working on is giving people grace to grow in the things of God. 10 years ago, I was a very frustrated young pastor, frustrated with young people that I was pastoring, young people I was mentoring, young people that I was holding accountable, pouring my then at 28 or 29, my then life's work, everything that I am, everything that I was pouring it into them, and they weren't changing. They weren't growing at the pace I wanted them to grow. And it was so significant that Bishop one day said, why are you so frustrated? I don't even know if he remembers this. He said, why are you so frustrated? I said, I am so frustrated because I'm preaching to people and they just won't get it. But how long have you been? I said, sold out? I've been living for God for 12, 13. He said, so you expect them in a week to grow to the level that it took you 12 or 13 years to get to? And he said, you've got to give them the grace that God gave you to grow. You've got to afford them the same grace. Now, mind you, my job is to make it so that it doesn't take them 10 years to do what it took me 10 years to. But I can't expect them in 10 minutes to grow. And that's why I still hug you as tight as I can when I spill tobacco or nicotine on your breath. If I run into you down at the Outback and you're chugging beers, I'm still going to love you. You don't got to try to hide it. You don't got to try to run out the side door. Why? Because I'm giving you grace to grow. I believe you're going to grow to the place. I believe you're going to mature to the place as a believer and as a disciple that you outgrow some of those childish things. But until then, I'm going to give you grace that gives you space to fall down and get back up. The problem is we don't give enough space for people that when they fall down, they don't have enough space to get back up. So we give them enough space to fall, and then we love to berate them and condemn them because they've fallen and they can't get up. No pun intended. Well, number one, I want to give you grace to grow.
I want to give you grace to make mistakes. I want to give you grace to not only grow and mature in the things of God, but if you fall down, not only am I going to give you grace to get back up, I'm going to get down from my high perch, and I'm going to be strong enough to pick you up and help you come back and stand where God has called you to be. Somebody say, grace gives space. Check this out. Some folks are walking around like they forgot what it was like to be blind. Seems like the people that have already received their sight don't want anybody else to receive theirs. Ronald Reagan said it like this. It seems like all of the people that are pro-abortion have already been born. So I was birthed. I'm alive. That's all that matters. That's not the attitude of Jesus. That's not the attitude of love. Love is not self-seeking. Love endures. Love never fails. Love hopes. Love perseveres. Love gets the job done. And so, yes, if I'm blind, I want to get my sight, but I cannot get so filled with vision that I forget what it's like to be blind. And when somebody blind interrupts the norm around me and what I'm trying to get done, I can't be so vision-oriented that I forgot what it was like to be blind. Don't be so blessed that you forget what it was like to be broke. Don't get so free that you forget what it was like to be bound. Because Living Way is going to fill up not with people that used to go to Cornerstone, used to go to New Creation, used to go to Summit. Living Way is going to fill up with the drug addicted, the gangbangers, going to fill up with the 14-year-old young ladies that are pregnant, that their parents have kicked them out. And guess what? Bring them on, baby. We're going to give them grace that is going to give them space to grow. Oh, I was blind, but now I see, but I don't see well enough to forget what it was like to be blind. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I remember. I remember. Every once in a while, you ought to take a nostalgic trip to the hood you used to grow up in. Brother Charlie said, it's a nice hood. Brother Charlie living that blessed life. Somebody that's making $200,000 a year, you ought to go back to the Valero station that you started working overnight. Leadership at Living Way. Every once in a while, we ought to stand out there and meet every first-time guest that comes to that table. And remember what it was like the first time we came to Living Way and we thought everybody had done lost their mind. Those of you that have been healed of cancer, there's a lot of people in this room. Those of us that have been healed from every manner of disease, I encourage you to go down to the hospital next couple weeks. Not to just tour the hospital, but to remember what it was like to have dialysis day in and day out. You have to have chemo 3 times a week, 5 times a week, every month. And then while you're walking through those halls, just peek your head in and tell somebody, I used to be where you're at, but God healed me. That's turning the volume up. But I never want to get so comfortable with my vision that I forgot what it was like to be blind. Every once in a while, I just got to close my eyes. And so I'll endure their shouting because I remember what it was like to be blind. I'll endure that crazy guttural scream that I hear during the altar call that makes everyone uncomfortable. I'll endure that because I remember what it was like to be so addicted and needing a deliverance right that moment, or I wasn't going to make it through the year. I remember what it was like to not afford, did not afford Bartimaeus that pleasure. Forgot what it was like to be blind. When they told him to shut up, when they told Bartimaeus to shut up the first time, he said, hold your peace. Busy. Jesus got a schedule to keep. Jesus is on his way to another town, resurrect, heal. He's got an appointment with the Pharisees, Sadducees. But Bartimaeus knew enough, calls him son of David, knows enough about Jesus to know why Jesus came. Seeking to save that which is lost. Bartimaeus knows that I'm the reason that Jesus is on this earth. And it's not going to take Jesus more than 30 seconds to stop. He can heal me quicker. He can heal me quicker than any celebrity can give me an autograph. So he's at that point, after he said it once, where the shushers have showed up. The loud mouth, shut up. Jesus is busy. Jesus don't want to mess with people like you. Come on, Jesus, you're the reason on this earth. Jesus wants you just like you are. I don't know what church lied to you. I don't know where you got that bad theology, but you come to Jesus as you are. You come to live in way, any way you want to dress, any way you want to show up. You can walk, you can skateboard, you can take the bus, whatever you got to do, but just get to living way. And I've always said it like this. Jesus says, come as you are, but Jesus loves you enough to not leave you like he finds you. And if you come to Jesus like you are, there is no way that you can have a conversation. There is no way that you can be in the presence of the Lord. There is no way that any of that can happen without something transpiring in your life. Bartimaeus looks, ironically, looking around in himself, knowing this might be the last that I have a chance. This is the moment where I listen to the masses and I shut up and I literally sense my miracle farther away. Or I rise above what people think. I raise my voice to a level of shout that drowns out their criticism, that drowns out, come on, the level of your shout has to be greater than their shush. The level of your shout has to be greater than their shut up. Your volume has to be turned up not to a 10. You got to break the knob off. You got to be louder than any other voice, than any other thing, than any other noisemaker in your life. And Bartimaeus, in that moment, realizes where he is. He is sitting outside the city of Jericho. I'll take you real quick to Joshua chapter 6. You don't like this. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, I have given you thy hand, Jericho, the king thereof, the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city. All ye men of war, go round about the city once. Thou shalt do this for 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horn. And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it came to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you've heard the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the walls of the city shall fall down flat. Bartimaeus was sitting there. He shouts, and the people say, shut up. And how are you going to tell me to shut up? And I live in the city of the shout. Thousands of years before, my ancestors shouted so that they could take this city. This city was founded on shouting. And just because you've outgrown shouting, just because you're too dignified to shout, just because you've grown to the level where you don't think you need to shout, excuse me, because I'm not where I need to be. I don't have what God has promised me that I would have, and so I'm going to shout. Can I encourage you? Living Way has been here for 45 years, and we did not build this church on people sitting on their thumbs, twiddling their fingers, waiting for something to happen. This church was birthed out of people like Bartimaeus who said, I need God to do something. It was built on the backs of women and men who knew what it was like to shout. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I am like I am because of my heritage. You never have to worry about Living Way becoming quiet, becoming dignified. Never have to worry about that as long as I live and I got 62 years minimum left in me. We're always going to be loud. This is always going to be a place you can shout, you can dance, You can praise God. This is a place that your friends are always, you're welcome to bring anybody. I don't care what their problem is. You bring them to Living Way. I am like I am because I got Pentecostal in my blood. We're a shouting people. We're a lively people. Come on, in the Old Testament, they say, can't you kill those babies at midwife? They say, we can't do it because the Hebrew women are lively ladies. We go in to kill what they're having. They didn't even need us to bring it forth. Why? Because a shouter doesn't need any help. Your shout brings down walls. Your shout causes Jesus to stand still. My grandpa, J.P. Fender, didn't do all he did to raise a son named Steve Fender, to have a grandson named Brandon Fender. He didn't do all that he did in the name of Pentecost for me to quiet down now, for me to get seeker sensitive now. My grandmother, Mildred Wickersham, didn't pray through to the Holy Ghost, didn't shout the name of Jesus, didn't pray me into the kingdom of God. She didn't do all that for me to get quiet now. My grandfather on my mama's side, David Varnado, did not get filled with the Holy Ghost, did not start churches, did not establish churches, all for me to go seeker sensitive and give you 3 points to having a successful marriage. I'm here to tell you we are shouters. My grandmother, who's been off this earth now for 30 years, Colleen Presnell, was a prayer warrior, praying machine. She didn't pray me into the kingdom, to quote Shakespeare. She didn't pray me into the kingdom to lean against a stool. She prayed me into the kingdom so that when her body left this earth, she knows I birthed a worshiper and I birthed the shouter. And that shout will continue to build and get the presence of God. Can I tell you one more story? When my great-granddad died, A.D. Varnado, they sent me his Bible. Actually sent Tyler his Bible, and I just took it. I'll give it to Tyler when I die. 62 years, it's all yours, son. And in that was a story. And I hope I'm remembering this right. My grandparents were raised Baptist. They went to a Holy Ghost-filled church to make fun of the Holy Rollers. Never do that. God's got a great sense of humor. They ended up getting filled with the Holy Ghost. That generation has produced, I think it's like 75 pastors, preachers, and missionaries. They built, which is now still the largest spirit-filled church in Jamaica, was built by my great-grandparents. He used to preach in such a way that his friends and family would sit, he'd preach outside, would sit with a shotgun to protect him because of what he was shouting and preaching about. He didn't risk his life so that we could come here, sing two songs, hear a great sermon, and go home exactly the same way. It's the city of shout that's birthed shouters. Living Way is the city of shout. Raise your voice. Let God hear you. You say, when am I going to shout? Shout your praise. Shout your worship. Shout your prayers. Shout the word of God. Let your faith shout. When you don't feel like you can do anything else, raise your voice. Let God hear you. God, this is where you need to land. God, this is where you need to rest. I'm ready. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. City of shout. Can't quite, just because you got what you. This has always been the city of shout. It will always be. I want to open this altar right now for those that you've allowed other things to become louder in your mind, your heart, your spirit, your family. You've allowed other voices to become louder than his voice. You've allowed other things to become louder. God bless those that are coming to this altar. There's some people that have been made comfortable with their blindness. You're comfortable begging. Come on, don't beg no more. This ain't survival mode. This is thrival mode. We're thriving, baby. Come on. We're here we are.